Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at agrigold.com or at 800-262-7333.
It's 10 minutes before 9 o'clock, and with the pre-opening commodity market report, here's Illinois Public Media's Director of Agricultural Programming, Dave Dickey. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning, Tom, and good Friday morning, everyone. OPEC oil supply fell in April for an eighth consecutive month due to disruptions to Nigerian output and as members implemented a deal to prop up prices. Supply from the 11 members of the Organization of the Petroleum Exporting Countries bound by output targets declined to 25.52 million barrels per day from a revised 25.63 million barrels per day in March. OPEC has agreed to reduce supply by a total of 4.2 million barrels per day since September. The group has so far lowered output by 3.52 million barrels per day. That gives OPEC an 84% compliance rate. The Dow Jones Industrial Average at 81.35 is down 32 points. The NASDAQ at 17.07 is down 10. And the S&P 500 at 868 is down 4.35 points.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
Joining us now with a look at the agricultural weather is our very own Mike Sola. And as I look at the rain gauge, Mike, looks like just a couple of ticks over an inch fell on Friends Plaza in the last 24 hours.
Well, Dave, actually, we had a little bit less than that in the last 24 hours. If you extended maybe 26 hours.
Ah.
Yeah, that's where we had the a decent shower go through. Actually, you'd probably call it an indecent shower, as we are still longing for some dry weather across the area. The total precipitation, according to the Illinois State Water Survey, for Champaign-Urbana, 6.97 inches.
Wow.
You know, just soggy conditions all over, 6.94 inches. And looking at the current situation as far as moisture, it's really not all that bad in southern Illinois. In fact, you get into the boot heel of Missouri and things are not too bad right now, but over the next week, that will be the focus. Southern Illinois, the boot heel of Missouri, through the Ohio River Valley, between the Ohio and Tennessee River Valleys, stretching all the way to the mid-Atlantic states over the next 5 to 7 days. That will be the area most likely to pick up more than their fair share of rain. So that could be a problem. It does look like field work may start to advance a little bit more in the northwestern portion of the Corn Belt, as conditions aren't too bad right now, and it looks like though they will see some rain, it doesn't look like any major downpours or any long-lasting rain for that area. So the northern Corn Belt's looking pretty decent, and the latest computer model run from the Global Forecast System actually has decreased the precipitation expectations for central Illinois into central Indiana and northern areas of the two-state area over the next week to 10 days. Again, I'd proceed with caution on that. It's one run after several continued to show hefty amounts of rain across the area. So a drastic drop-off in one run compared to the last several doesn't give me a lot of confidence that it has a good handle on things, but maybe if the next couple runs indicate that high pressure building into the upper Midwest will dry us out, we will start to see a few more happy faces across the area. But until we do get a week long or more than a week of dry and sunny weather across the area, there will be some concern about the conditions for getting into the fields across the corn-soybean belt. Now, the Delta and the Southeast, they too have their problems. The situation has developed where that the frontal system settling into the Ohio River, Tennessee River valleys, That will keep a focus of more rain across portions of the southeastern states into the early portion, into the middle of next week. And after that, it looks like there will be a procession of storms that will push through the Delta and the southeastern states for the next week, possibly into the middle of the month of May. And the resulting rainfall, while light, will keep field work at delays at times. They'll have to work around the precipitation in the northern delta where they do need some drying for necessary field work to get going. Areas in the lower delta into southern Georgia and northern Florida will be the driest over the next couple weeks, and they should see enough rain to support field work. The early crop development, and it'll support the early crop development, but they too need some drying across that area. With a look at the growing area weather, I'm Mike Sola. Have a great weekend.
In the Thursday overnight trading session, Kansas City July wheat opened at 585.5, up 3/4. Last trade up 4. At the Board of Trade, May wheat opened at 524.75, up 0.5. Last trade up 2.75. July 537, up 0.5. Last trade up 5.5. May corn opened at 395, down 1.25. Last trade up 0.25. July 401.5, down 2. Last trade up 2. December 421, down 2.25. Last trade up 2. May soybeans opened at 1068.25, down 1.75. Last trade down 1. July 1051.25, down 3.75. Last trade unchanged. November 940.5, down 3. Last trade up 1.5. May soybean meal opened at 342, down 50. July 329, down 150. May soybean oil opened at 36.14, down 8. July 36.36, down 15. Joining us on the telephone to talk about the markets is Mike Zuzulo of Risk Management Commodities. He is in Lafayette, Indiana. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Dave.
Thank you for filling in for Jackie Vakes this morning. Much appreciative.
You bet. Our best to Jackie.
We didn't have much to go on in the overnights. Half the world wasn't involved in it. They're on holiday. So what will traders be looking at this morning?
Well, I think the first thing they looked at, Dave, was when they got up, how the swine flu, or I should say H1N1, that's been a major issue with the market and with the scientists out there in the community to get the name right. So I should say H1N1 virus. And what we've seen here is not too much of a new development. There's a lot more schools being closed here in the United States under precautionary methods and reasons. But the Globex trade in the hogs is actually up for the first time in several days. We've got May hogs trading up 65. June and July are up around 120 to 130. So on our conference call with our clearing firm this morning, about a half an hour ago, that was noted in the CME pits, both in livestock and in corn. Some of the corn market fundamentals are starting to promote maybe trying to get a little bit higher here. Some of the corn market technicals are talking a little bit higher here as far as the trade picture and what we heard from Chicago this morning. Maybe the biggest question in their minds as far as how high corn can go today and how much strength it can have is based upon whether the beans follow along again and whether the wheat follows along. There's expected to be some profit-taking in soybeans today, with the front end reported yesterday having a lot of shorts that were squeezed, and they had to dump out of their short positions and took a real bath on their positions is what it's been reported from our contacts. So might be a little bit more calm now that we're in a new month.
You think that bull spread can widen out further? I'm hearing whispers of $1.50 and points north.
I think it can if the Chinese continue to buy. The Chinese have been the big question mark here this week. At the beginning of the week, they were canceling 5 loads, was what I had heard. By the middle of the week, they were back in buying 2 of those back and maybe even getting up to a total of 7 loads bought. And with the weekly export sales looking so good yesterday and them being at least 56% of the total, and if you include the unknown destinations in there and assume that it's China, you're talking about over 75% of the export sales were China. If you look at numbers like that, I suspect we will see the July NOV bean spread continue to favor the July. I suspect that if the central and eastern corn belts continue to stay as wet as they're predicted to be, places like Corbin, Kentucky, and Memphis, Tennessee, they're looking at 4 to 6 inches of rain on the latest GFS models. That promotes new crop beans as more of a sell, I would think, after we see Monday's crop progress report numbers. So I would think that bull spread has a lot of fundamentals underneath it, with China being the hinge pin.
Illinois would be about 60% along on the five-year rolling average on Monday. I would think that they're somewhere around 10 or 11%. Will traders talk that up, or will they look at the latest weather run, which suggests something a little drier?
I think they'll talk it up, Dave, because the biggest negative to the corn other than the H1N1 virus has been the hedge pressure in the old crop complex. We noted corn hedge pressure by farmers yesterday in the July corn, but yet July corn was able to close last night back up above 405, and that's always been kind of a teeter-totter point for a breakout. And so if we can manage to open higher, beans and wheat stay firm, maybe that corn can drive some new longs into the market because of the planting weather being more talked about, and because maybe end users will come in and get some needs covered because of what, you know, we are now in May.
Talk to you next hour, Mike.
Okay, Dave, thank you.
You're welcome. Mike Zuzulo of Risk Management Commodities. He is in Lafayette, Indiana. You're listening to WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM, HD2 and HD3 Urbana. It's 9:01 Central Time.